drinking water. Visiting tonight by way of the live stream and also being here personal. We thank God for those that are here tonight. Sister Brenda, Sister Sarah, Chase, Lucy, Brother Ed, me. Me and Brother Ed wearing the same shirt. We're the dynamic duo. Amen. But we want to thank you for tuning in tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer. And we're going to get Sister Brenda to sing us a song. And then we'll go into our lesson tonight. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We just went through Vacation Bible School this week.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. It was quite a challenge, but it was worth all the toll, all the trouble. Just really rewarding, very good. We thank the Lord for that good Vacation Bible School effort, our first one. And hopefully it's one of many to come.
Amen.
We've got a missionary that's coming in August. August the 20th, I believe that's right. A missionary to the Philippines. He's called me and we've talked a little bit. And I'm very looking forward to meeting him. Brother Andy sent us a text and they really enjoyed visiting with us. Andy and Shelly, Annabelle, Josiah, Lisha, Billy, George, Ann, and Audrey, and Micah. We really enjoyed having them with us. I've been working hard on their names, but what a blessing it was for them to come by and visit.
Yes.
And we want to thank the Lord for all those that helped out at the Vacation Bible School. It was certainly worth the effort. Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, just with thanksgiving on our heart.
Yeah.
Thank you for the good rain. Me and Brother Ed was talking our way over here about how hot it's going to get this weekend. Lord, it's just nice to have this cool, refreshing opportunity, Lord, before the heat comes, to enjoy, Lord, the temperature. We thank you for that. I pray, dear Father God, tonight for all of our sick. Lord, I pray for Sister Tammy that she would continue, Lord, to get better. Pray for Sister Joanne. Lord, also Sister Sue Bone. She's got a family, Lord, that she's mentioned in dire need. We've been praying for that family. And Sister Star Spray mentioned several to me. Lord, also Sunday, Lord, and we want to remember those family members also, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, for Mitchell and Phyllis. She's still been falling. Lord, we just want to pray for all of our people that are getting old, getting feeble. I pray for Sharon, for Sybil. And want to thank you again, Lord, for the young people, Lord, that came to the Vacation Bible School. Lord, we're so thankful for that success. Lord, that they're definitely worthwhile effort, Lord. Bless the service, Lord, tonight. Draw us nigh to you, Lord. May we, I pray, have sweet fellowship, Lord, tonight. Bless Sister Brenda, Lord, tonight as she gets ready to sing. Bless our country, Lord. Open its eyes to its sad condition.
Yes.
May America do a Nineveh repentance from the greatest to the least. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we could get right with God one more time in America. I'd like to see revivals break out again. I'd like to see the song of rejoicing again. I'd like to hear the sound of sinners, Lord, getting saved again. We just pray it all, Lord, be your good doing. Lord, your Holy Spirit working in our midst, doing the works of God. And we ask, Lord, even tonight, you bless our efforts. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Get you to sing us a song, if you will, Sister Brad.
Hi, Rita. Thank you again for getting this Vacation Bible School together.
Yes.
Carolyn, I'll be over here Friday to get that stuff for
Ashley.
Ashley, yes. I'll get it out in a minute.
Down here the burden's heavy,
yeah,
and the road is rough and long.
Help me.
Sometimes my feet get weary and so sore. There's a brighter day coming when I'll step on heaven's shore. And I won't have to worry.
gonna sing one about that?
I think so.
All right. Hallelujah.
Better get my backup singer here.
She's back there in the back.
Boy, thank you, Brenda. I need it there. We all worry about everything. Jesus
yes,
told us not to be doing it.
Yeah.
He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Be troubled, that's right.
You know, a lot of times I do, I worry about stuff. And I know we're not supposed to. We're supposed to lay it at the cross. And I do that, and then I'll turn right back around and pick it up.
Pick it up again. Yeah. I've done that too.
Wow, good. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I don't know where my little Catholic girl is tonight.
Return catch up with them, amen?
That's right.
And David, he had another boy come right after this one here, and he called his name Solomon. And, you know, God always compensates. I remember when our first daughter got killed in that car wreck, and just to offset that terrible tragedy, there was a little bundle of flesh. I remember my wife holding that little old thing in her arms. What a comfort that was, you know, to be able to hold something when you've let go of something, when you've lost something, and it's not there no more. And I saw her so comforted holding that little old big, about 8-pound bundle of flesh in her arms. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. You know, he's the only one I know that can comfort you when you're cast down.
Yeah.
Brenda said, we won't have to worry anymore.
Amen.
I can't help but worry. I don't want to.
No.
I know I'm not supposed to. But I catch myself even now worrying about things I can't do nothing about.
Right.
And the Lord knows it. He helps us whether we know it or not to make it through the day and make it through the week. And even to be able to find sleep when we're tired gives us rest, gives us sleep. But I'm so glad God's got a place prepared for us. We'll all catch up with them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I think I've got more family there than I got down here.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing them again. Amen. And take a stroll over heaven like Brother Patrick sung right there.
Yeah.
And one thing about heaven, we're not going to visit. We're going there to stay. It's
That's
home.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
All right. We're in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. I forgot my recorder. Brother Ed's recording for us tonight. I'll record from his recording. And we'll get it on the line. A lot of people tune in to these live streams. Don't take this little old church for granted. A lot of people are hungering for the Word of God.
Right.
A lot of churches have substituted the Word of God for other things. Just like this AI movement they got going on right now. They've got an AI kind of like trying to take the place of God. You can Google it. You can ask your questions and all that stuff. And they've got artificial intelligence worship, artificial intelligence church. My opinion, I'd rather have the real thing.
That's
I don't know
right.
why in the world I'd want to substitute something that you can't take the place of it. God said no one can take his place. He's in a category all his own. People don't understand God because he's not like us. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. And he loved us. And blesses us. Gives us opportunities to be a blessing. We might not do them, but we should.
Yeah,
but
right.
In Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, I done read these first four verses, but I want to read them again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Here's why. For this is right. I know we have a hard time doing right nowadays, but it's still right to do right. It's still wrong to do wrong.
Right.
God says, for to do right, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We just had Father's Day last Sunday. Even though I didn't get to preach that Father's Day message, I promise you it'll be on the table this coming Sunday, amen. We want to preach that message. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Of course, that commandment is in Ephesians chapter, Ephesus. Come on, Eddie. Exodus.
Spit
it out here in a minute. Chapter 20. I said everything.
Yeah,
but
you did.
But Exodus chapter 20. God says here, well, come on, turn to me pages. He says, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it also says the same thing here, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. God wants you to have a long, healthy, blessed life.
Amen.
And to do that, you need to understand, he commanded you to obey your mother and father. And I know that ain't much going on today, but it needs to. We need to teach our children that we are authority figures. God's a great authority. We're under shepherds of the great shepherd. But there needs to be authority in the home. It needs to be a loving authority, but also a firm needs to be rules. Ephesians, I'm sorry, I can't quote a verse tonight, but nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully setting him to do evil. My dad, he busted my behind, but it put boundaries up. I knew that if I went any further, he was going to take his belt off and show me otherwise.
Yeah, that's right.
My mother washed my mouth out with soap. I'll tell you, I'm just saying the same thing she was saying. But it was okay for her to say it, but not for me to say it. But she got through, amen. Children, honor your father and your mother, this first commandment promise. Verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's what I meant by in a loving way be firm.
Yeah, that's right.
If you start early enough, it's so easy. But it's hard to start when you haven't already done your homework. I've seen parents that get a little baby just with diapers on, just one little pad on a behind, works perfect. And when you wait too long, I mean, you just about got body slammed and get their attention. But anyway, my dad, he was very thorough in getting my attention. He, man, I got tired picking myself up. I never flipped over backwards so many chairs in all my life. But I learned that there was authority in the house.
Yeah.
When there's authority in the house functions like it should.
Right.
When there's authority in the world functions like it should. Now you take God out of the equation. I know the Bible says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. It's anything goes. They kill. Well, I'm gonna preach a message pretty soon, and we got too many Cains, not enough Abels, amen.
Yeah,
there's too many Cains killing their brothers, amen.
Yeah, boy.
Well, anyway, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It's easy to make a little boy and a little girl mad, but it's also easy to take them up and love on them and let them know why that you don't want them to do what they're doing. And we're losing a generation because I think we've dropped the ball on what we're talking about here in these four verses. But bring them up. Bring them up. Now what they're doing in our schools is they're brainwashing our children. They're telling them things they ought not be telling them. They don't even teach them reading, writing, arithmetic no more. It's all about sex. I mean, you know, I don't know how many, I thought it was only male and female, but gender fluid, binary. You know, I'm a cat. I got to have a litter box. Just stupid stuff. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means in love and instruction. Children have to be taught. They have to be brought up. Somebody's got to teach them what they need to know.
Yes.
And if we had the right teachers in our schools, we'd have the right society today.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, they've gone insane. You'd think there'd be more to life than a three-letter word, but evidently that's all that's on the mind in America today. And it's kind of took this great country down. Okay, verse 5 is our first verse tonight. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now this is talking about like workers being obedient, you know, to their bosses, like in the workplace.
Yeah.
I know back then they worked in the, you know, in the cornfields, in the barley fields. But, you know, I used to get out there and work for the head. And I'd get mad and I'd have me a little pity party and I thought they was doing me wrong. But really, after I got thanked about it, I told the Lord, I'm sorry, thank you for my job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can work better when you realize the latter part of this verse says, as unto Christ. When you're working in the factory, of course you got to put up a lot of politics, a lot of propaganda. Everybody's got something on their shoulder, got some kind of grief, they bellyache, complain, too hot, they're working me too hard, the hours are too long. But when you think about that you're doing it as unto Christ, God gave me that job.
Yeah,
provided
that's right.
My family, yeah, for 32 years. You know, after I finally got over my little pity party, I got to being thankful for my job. I started doing my job like I should have been doing it all along. What they told me, I did it. And they were, you know, my boss is paying me. I wouldn't get no paycheck if I didn't do the job. And after I realized God had given me the job, it was a whole lot easier to do the job. And, of course, still had to deal with this old flesh. And according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Now, singleness of your heart just means, you know, you keep your mind on your job. Out there, I had an easy job. And, sir, even with an easy job, I catch myself complaining. Yeah. Here I was with an easy job, making more money than I should have been making, and I still complaining.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I'd forgot more than I'd ever know, and I didn't know enough to blow my nose about really the process. The more I worked there, the more I learned, and the more I got saved. I was 34 years old. I'd already been working at this factory for about 20. Let's see, I started there when I was 18. 18 is 36, right at 20 years. But, you know, when I got saved, I kind of like had to relearn everything because I'd been doing everything with the mind of the world.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing everything with the mind of Christ, trying to be obedient, trying to be a blessing. And they noticed it out there where I worked. They promoted me, gave me all kinds of benefits. But, you know, when you're working, just remember this. Have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Be thankful that you can even do your job. Be thankful that God has given you a job. And, you know, realize that God's going to reward you. You're going to get a paycheck. You're going to get promoted. People's going to notice when you're doing your job as unto the Lord. Them last three words, as unto Christ, says all needs to be said about verse 5. Verse 6 says, not with eye service. Now, I saw a lot of people at work. They knew the ropes. I mean, they knew what to say, how to say it, what to do, and how to do it. They kind of took advantage of opportunities, you know, when people got left behind. But it says here, not with eye service as men pleasers. You know what? There was a lot of flirting, a lot of flown, a lot of flattery, all that stuff, you know, in the workplace. And, you know, some of that stuff works, don't get me wrong. But it says here, don't do that, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Keep your mind on the fact that God has given you a job, that He's given you an opportunity to provide for your family, be thankful, be happy. You know, I'd catch myself, Brother Ed, out there singing to the Lord like Brother.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd be singing. I can't sing like Brother, but I'd be out there singing some song. You know, I would. I'd say, I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love, something like that. But verse 7 says, with goodwill, doing service, again, as to the Lord, not to men. Just remember, we come in this world with nothing.
Right.
Everything you got, God gave it to you. So be thankful. Don't be begrudging. Don't be a backbiter. Don't be a backstabber. You know, be thankful. Doing the will of God from the heart. Doing it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. God notices, you know, what you're doing. He notices what you're enduring. And, you know, He compensates. I don't know how many times I'd get mad. I'd go out there in the parking lot just to get away from the factory. I'd open up my Bible and I'd read something like Psalm chapter 18. And man, I'd get to crying out there saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'd go back in and be a different man than what I was. And I went out there, had my own little pity party. I'd come in praising God. But knowing this, and whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things to them. Your bosses, if you got a good Christian boss, then it's wonderful if you do.
Amen.
They understand, you know, what you're dealing with, and you know they don't make any issues. They've got the right mind. They don't take advantage of you. I had this one foreman, and he called me in the foreman's office. We was in there talking about the Lord and somebody else come in and he started talking about drinking and doing things. I looked at him, he looked at me. I mean, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And I thought, man, what you even call me in here for? I mean, like a hypocrite. And, you know, he was intentionally doing this. While I was in there talking about the Lord, praise God, somebody's come in. And I don't even want to talk about everything he talked about, but one of them was about drinking. And he'd start cussing and stuff. And I thought, oh, what you hadn't even brought me in here. But it's good if you've got a real Christian, you know, boss. Someone, you know, you're working underneath. Ye masters, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, that means, you know, everybody. I had people on my crew, some were great achievers, some were underachievers, but we all together got the job done. We worked together. We used the strengths, we used the weaknesses, just extra hands helped. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. You know, we'd have a little meeting every now and then. I'd tell the guys, I said, look, this job beat me like a drum. I know it is y'all too. Let's not take it personal. Let's just get it done, move on to the next one. Some of them jobs, I'm not kidding you, were impossible. They just weren't even possible to do. I realized that. I didn't take it out on the men. And I wanted them to understand. I realized, just like them, that we was dealing with impossibility. We'd have paper that wouldn't run. We'd have ink that wouldn't print. We had everything, but, you know, it wouldn't deliver. And we just worked together just to get it over with, get it done. We was happy to get it done. And then we move on to the next job. But I also seen men throw hammers. I saw men cussing, you know, their employees, their crew members, taking it out on them. I told them, I said, hey, we'll get this thing done. Maybe the next will be better. We try to look at it, you know, in a positive mind. You know, it's not a big job. We'll get this thing done. Enjoy the rest of the night. But we worked at it together. And, you know, if you got a good Christian boss, it's easy to work with them. And if you got one, you know, that's pain in the hind end, it's not no fun working with them. Just make the best of it. Like I said, just keep your mind on the Lord. Lord will help you if you'll let him. Even in the workplace, he helped me a lot.
Right.
He worked a lot of things out that I thought there's no way we're going to get this to work. And God helped us. And it ends up there in verse 9. Neither is there respect of persons with him, talking about God. God looks at everybody the same. I looked at this and like, you know, he's strong, he's weak, he's smart, he's dumb. God looks at all of them the same, loves all of them the same. We jump to a whole different place right here, verse 10. Paul just sums it all up here,
yeah,
verse 10.
That's right.
Finally, and he's covered a lot of ground right here in chapter 6. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So much is said in that one verse right there. You know, we get beat down. We get weary, we get tired, we want to give up. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
That's right.
Paul mentioned that he could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him.
Right.
And, you know, we need to keep that in mind.
Amen.
That it is possible through the Lord to do anything we need to do. I think it's Philippians chapter 4 here. Well, come on, Eddie. Oh, I finally found Philippians chapter 4. I was looking at chapter 3. But he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Knowing, here we are, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Knowing that we can, the Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord. Don't raise up a white flag. Don't give up. Just nothing else. You'll find out here in a minute. It says just stand. I haven't done all to stand there with. But be strong in the Lord. Don't let the enemy get an advantage against you. David, when Ziklag, when they come back and it was burnt, I don't know that I can find that, but they were all crying till they couldn't cry no more. And the people got all upset at David, wanted to stone him. And the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Yeah.
And he inquired in 1 Samuel chapter 30, says it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that they were therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men come to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I want you to know this is not a good time. But David here, he's lost just like the rest of them. They've all lost. David's two wives were taken captives, Adoniah, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, that's how to be strong in the Lord when it's bad. They're weeping. They've lost it. I remember hearing about I think it was Mays Jackson, said his mother and his father, when the Great Depression hit, they lost all their money, and his father came home, I think it's Mays Jackson, said his father come home, told his mother, said, "We've lost it all." She said, "No, we still got the Lord." And you know, that was encouraging. Yeah. For the time they were in,
right,
for the trouble they were in, David, the Bible says here, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said in Abithar, that was the priest, "Amalek's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod." And Abithar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Don't never forget that God is a present help in a time of trouble. Paul here is telling the church of our day, you're going to be beaten down, you're going to be brought down, you're going to be discouraged. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He gives some more advice here in verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Let me tell you something. The devil's not no pushover. He knows how to get to me. Sometimes he gets to me through my wife. That seems like where I'm weakest at. She can bring out the worst in me. I can do okay, buddy, till she comes down on me, and I just, for lack of better words, I react the wrong way. You know, I have to realize, just like Job's wife said, "Won't you curse God and die?" That the devil was just trying to find a way to get to Job.
Yeah.
Thank God Job had enough sense not to yield, and he didn't yield. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. We're going to be talking about that armor here in just a minute. But here's why we need to put on the whole armor of God. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
The devil's going to come against you every way he can.
Amen.
If he's successful, Brenda, you wouldn't have come tonight. You beat the devil tonight.
Yes,
he probably stood in your way and said, "You know, you can go next time." And since going tonight, she came on anyway.
Amen.
And Sarah, you wouldn't have been here tonight.
Right.
The devil had his way. Patrick, you wouldn't have been here tonight. Boy, y'all all gave me a blessing. I can tell y'all that right now. And as much as y'all gave me a blessing, you gave him a blessing.
Yeah.
God from heaven looks down.
Yes, he does.
And, he healed 10 lepers. Brenda, one came back.
Yeah.
Jesus noticed 9 didn't come back.
He said,
"Where's the 9? I think God looks down and sees these empty pews and wonders where they're at. Don't they know what I've done?
Yeah.
So they can sing my songs.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah,
you know, my things. You know, the things of the world can't compare to the things of God. But God noticed that 9 didn't return, but 1 did. And these wiles of the devil, he's not going to give up. So put on the whole armor of God, and the whole purpose for putting on that armor is that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If God can prophetically allow us to see all those that have been brought down, all of those that are down even right now due to the wiles of the devil. All of those like Peter, I'll never deny you. I'm ready to die, and he denied the Lord three times, and yet the Lord, you know, he commissioned Peter, told him feed his lamb, feed his sheep. But, you know, we all underestimate the devil. Even though we've got the advantage over the adversary, I don't know about y'all, but even this week I've dealt with him. Yeah. And he's had a little bit of success. I don't give no place to him. It's just sometimes I don't see him as he really is until he's done, got his way.
Right.
But the reason for the armor is that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I hope this is getting recorded good. I'm feeling pretty good up here about it. Amen. We might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Brother Patrick and Sister Sarah, they've been trying to get into a house. The devil's fighting tooth and nail.
Yeah.
They haven't gave up. They might be discouraged, but I believe he'll have probably have a party time when they do get in that house.
That's right.
They're going to say, thank you, Lord. Let me just tell y'all what. We live on a 15-acre farm, and we lost our other house. Just made some terrible decisions. I never have been real smart, but I got along with a guy called Rob Money. You think anybody needs sense at all can put two or two together on that. But anyway, we lost our house. One of them, what do you call it, predator lenders. We lost our house. We didn't wait for a foreclosure. We just moved out. But as God in mercy, as we look, just trying to find anywhere, just somewhere to rent, very desperate. Started going to realtors. Y'all got anything? Trying to find somewhere for my family. And I went to Bailey Gibson Realty and I said, would y'all be interested in a farm? I said, absolutely. And we went down and looked at this place. And it was like, to me, I mean, it was like a prayer answer. I'd always wanted a farm. Never needed one, but I always wanted one. I haven't been able to keep up a farm. You can go down there and look and see, that's true. But we always wanted a farm ever since I was a little bitty boy when I lived with my mom and dad. Always wanted a farm. And here we got this opportunity. The couple was old. They was wanting to move to town. They were so willing to give us a good deal on this place. They asked us, said, what can you afford? We told them, they said, we'll take it. And, you know, they even worked out a deal. We got the tractor, all the equipment, all of that. It was just like a dream come true. But the first night after we moved into this house, first night that we slept in it, I still remember this. I got up 3 o'clock that next morning. I went in our living room and I fell down right there on the floor.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, thank you for making room for us.
Right.
Thank you for this house. And I said, Lord, if it be possible, right here is where I'd like to fill my days. Lord, I'd like to spend my last moments on this earth, right here on this farm. Thank you for this blessing. And you know, when you get a house and you thank God for it, and you ask God's blessing, you'll enjoy that house a whole lot more.
Yes.
I pray all through that house. Man, I tell you, I've been caught all through that house of praying. Daughter walking on me, grandkids walking, wife walks in, act like Andy Murray, flip the light on, do whatever, man, I've never seen like it. But remember this, the whole reason for this armor is that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, the devil hates it if you praise God. I can't think of anything I couldn't praise God for. Brother Patty, if I broke my leg, I'd say, praise God, I only broke one.
That's right.
I mean, I'll just tell you what, put everything in the positive. Just learn how to thank God for everything.
Yeah,
you spill your milk, you say, praise God, I got more in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
I mean, just learn how to praise God. Go through this life enjoying the things of God.
Yeah.
It says that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That devil's going to try to sift you like wheat. He's going to try to turn you upside down, inside out. Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
Now, me and my wife, every time, well, this would be a better example of what I'm trying to say right here. We had a real good service at Bethel Baptist Church. I was a young Christian, hadn't been saved no time at all, didn't know nothing. I knew I was saved, knew I loved the Lord. And we come out, I mean, just shout, I mean, one of them good ones. I mean, out of the banks, good service. We got out there in the car, we wasn't in the car 5 minutes. and we was fighting over where we was going to go eat at. I just told them all, I said, hold on just a minute. I said, we just come out of the house of God, praising God, everybody rejoicing, shouting. And I said, we can't even decide where we're going to go eat without fighting. I said, I don't want to go eat like this. I said, we're going to go eat somewhere. Let's go as a family. Boy, they got right on board. I mean, they was ready to compromise. Wherever you want to go is okay with me. But that's the way it works. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That old devil had got in that car, Brenda.
Yeah.
And he had us in each other's throat.
He's waiting on y'all to get in it. He was already there.
Yeah. The problem is with the principalities.
Yeah.
Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mm-hmm. Y'all may not know this, but you can have a good service. I mean, you can have one of them, whoa, boy, I'm glad I was there to be mad before you get home. That's why I say we got to put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
We got to realize there is a devil down here. We've got to understand that he's not only the enemy, but he's the one that calls us to fight one with another. Our problem's not with flesh and blood. You know, Chase and Lucy back there, they just little kids. They're going to do what little kids do.
That's
I have no problem at all with little kids.
No.
But they will cause you to wonder what they're doing. They will call Sarah to run back there and say, y'all get up here and sit down. But just remember this, they're just little kids.
That's
they have to grow up.
That's right.
And you know, it took me a long time to get with that, but I did. I probably shouldn't even share this tonight, but I remember my youngest daughter, Cindy. She lived 17 in 1 week. And I come home, work one day, Patrick, and she had my plate fixed. We talking pinto beans, cornbread. We talking fried taters, big fried tenderloins.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
You know, I'm talking about rolling flour.
Oh,
I mean, fried just right. She had my plate sitting there waiting on me. Big glass of, I mean, ice cold sweet tea with lemon in it, all waiting. And I come in like, you know, okay, what's going on here? And she sat across the table from me, and she waited for me to completely get done eating. I mean, I was going at it. I mean, there wasn't no elbows touching the table. And when I got done eating, she said, Dad, can I ask you something? And I really didn't see this coming. I'd give in to have this moment one more time. I'd like to have another opportunity at it. But Brother Ed, she said, all my friends are going to the ball game this Saturday. She said, can I go? And here's why I messed up, the worst I've ever messed up my whole life. It was so convenient just to say no. And big dummy me, I said no. And she went right into her bedroom crying. And then I realized just how important this was to her.
Yeah.
I realized why she done all what she done.
Yeah.
And Brenda, if I had that moment over, I said, well, think about it. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah.
Anything but no. But I seen how much it meant to her when I said no. And I wished I had that moment over. When they get to heaven, I'm going to apologize to her and tell her how big a fool I was for not picking up on how much it meant to her to go to that ball game. You see, it didn't mean nothing to me, but it meant something to her, and I just didn't pick up on it.
Yeah.
But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I heard a guy on the radio the other day. He said something I have to admit I couldn't agree with. He said, I love President Biden. He said, I pray for him. Somebody win him to the Lord. And he said, I pray somebody get a Bible in his hand. I mean, I can agree with some of the things he said. I just couldn't say I love him. But, you know, he might be right. God could have put Biden in there just because of the wickedness of this country.
Yeah.
God might be ripping it in our face just to show us, you know, what kind of sad condition we're truly in. I saw a lot of things I never thought I'd see since Biden went in there. But he said, I love him. He said, I pray for him. I can't love him, but I can pray for him, and I do. I pray for him every morning. I pray for the president, vice president, congress, senators, legislators, judges, mayors, governors, military, state troopers, sheriffs, police department, first responders, doctors, nurses. I've got a list this long. It takes me over an hour to pray through. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul says, wherefore, Take unto you the whole armor of God. This is the second time that it's mentioned this. He mentioned verse 11. He says it again. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're not supposed to run. We're not supposed to raise a white flag. We're supposed to stand. And verse 14 says, stand therefore. I mean right there, however long you got to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Not picking on you, not Brenda, but what's truth? John 17, 17. Look at that. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sarah, you look up John 14, verse 6.
17, Patrick,
17, 17. You look up John chapter 8, verse 31. I'll put them on the spot tonight, Brother Ed.
Go ahead.
17, 17.
Sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth.
There it is. Right. The word of God's truth. What's yours?
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
There's another truth. The Lord truth. What you got, Brother Patrick?
That ain't got to hear you.
John chapter 8, verse 31. I can quote it, but I'd rather you read it. John 8, verse 31. Maybe 30 and 31.
As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
And you shall know the truth.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen. That's
see, God wants us to know the truth.
Yeah.
And here, having your loins girt about with truth, Pilate looked Jesus in the face and said, what is truth? I mean, when you're looking truth in the face,
yeah,
and you can't see truth, you're spiritually blind.
That's right.
I think America has become spiritually blind.
I do too.
Because truth is falling in the streets in America. And the Bible here says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I've got a belt holding my pants up. Truth will hold you up.
That's right.
Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the Lord gave us His righteousness, and that is our breastplate. It's like having an S on a shirt here.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm saved. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm somebody. Thanks to Jesus. Going somewhere, and I got somewhere to go. Boy, I have to admit, I'm joining us tonight. It's better preaching, amen? It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says here, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul was in prison. He had chains on. He said, I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Yeah.
The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Verse 21, that ye also may know my affairs, how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, and you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Yes.
All right, we finished up the book of Ephesians. And like I said, I like that. That's a good chapter there.
Yes, it is.
That was a good lesson there.
Amen.
There was meat on that table in that lesson there. And again, I'd like to thank the Lord. Boy, there's just so much to thank God for. Somebody wrote a song. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've been there for me. I don't know how it goes, but I do want to thank the Lord. Amen. I think Donnie Rambo wrote that song, wasn't it? Yeah. Anybody got a word tonight? Let me throw another verse at you. You got some praise? Praise God. Learned something tonight?
Well, I was really thankful to be here, and I really needed that message. And thank you so much.
Y'all get that house. You're gonna run through that house. Thank you, Lord.
I was really thankful for the, especially the part where you're talking about being at work.
Yeah. And sometimes work will get you down.
I have a pretty hard job, and this last year, I know God has been with me this whole year. Every day at work, He's been with me, and I just thank Him for my job.
If Jesus showed up out on the workplace, wouldn't that encourage you?
Yes.
It'd probably surprise you how much He does show up in the workplace.
I know He was there every day with me.
You know, Eddie's talking about getting down in the floor, thanking God for His house. When I first bought my first house, I wasn't even saved. But after I became saved, I'm like him. I got down in my bedroom, and I thank God for my house. And I also ask Him to put a hedge around it.
Yeah.
Because of my children.
Amen, brother.
And you know what? He did.
Praise God.
And just before Karen died, me and her were sitting out on the front porch one day. And I asked her, I said, Karen, do you think we did a pretty good job of raising these boys? She thought for a minute, and she said, well, not a one of them went to prison.
Yeah.
You know, they went to jail once in a while for doing things they shouldn't do, and I had to go bail them out. But that's normal boys, and you'll learn
if
your boys are growing up.
They get old. You're going to find out they're going to have blinders.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to
ask them. They'd run from the police, or they'd run a stop sign or something, and they didn't have no plates on her car, didn't have something on it, you know, that they're supposed to have. Yeah. And they'd take them to jail, and I'd have to go bail them out. But you know what? I ended up with one was a police officer, and the other was, you know, they were good boys. They just, now I can't get them in church to save my
life. That's all right. I can't get mine either. I asked him to come Father's Day, as I'll ask him.
Yeah.
Of course, he had a golf tournament that day. Things are a lot different than they used to be. Church used to be the most exciting thing in town.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody looked forward to Sunday, but now we've got ball games and graduations. And
I remember my grandpa
trying to take the place of the most needed.
I wasn't much bigger than Chase. I remember my grandpa, I sat under his preaching, and when the television first came out, he said, ain't nothing but the eye of the devil.
Yeah.
Guarantee you, it won't be no time, and people will be sitting home watching that instead of going to church. And he was right. You know, I never thought about it. I was just a young kid. I never thought much about it. But
I've heard it said, I believe it's partially true, there's never been a great revival since the TV.
That's right.
Him in this world.
That's right.
So really, the church was the most exciting thing there was. People looked forward to going. And I have to admit, the preaching, just like the preaching is today.
Thank you. Thank you.